This Athletic Strength and Power podcast is brought to you by BiPro, instant whey protein isolate supplements. BiPro is the ultimate whey protein isolate for those who want to build or maintain muscle mass. Order BiPro at BiProUSA.com. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power, another podcast. I'm with John Philbin. He's the head strength and conditioning coach for the Washington Nationals. Well, John, we're going to talk some training with you. Before we do, tell us a little bit about your background and how'd you end up with the Washington Nationals?
I'm not sure, Eddie, where to begin. You know, when you say my background, it's I've been doing this 35 years, so I've done a lot of things within that time frame. Started out as a strength coach at University of Maryland with a guy named Frank Costello, who brought me aboard as one of his volunteer assistants. This was back in 1979. From there, I had the opportunity to become a volunteer assistant with Dan Riley in 1981 with the Redskins when he just came in for the first year with Gibbs. And just so happened that year they won the Super Bowl. So I had an opportunity to see how that whole operation worked with his particular training system, which is more along the lines of a high-intensity training methodology, if
you
will.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that.
And again, reflecting back on Frank Costello, he was more of a traditional, which I was fortunate to learn from his tutelage back at University of Maryland. And they had a very successful program for many years. So that carried me into having those two guys as my mentors, gave me an opportunity to apply for a job with the Olympic Committee back in 82 to be the head strength coach for the Winter Olympic Training Center, which then I got because of my experiences with those two guys. So those would probably be my mentors that helped me in my career starting out. And from there, I was exposed to Winter Olympics, training all the different sports, and one of them happened to be bobsled. And at the time, I was doing decathlon, track and field. So being a competitive decathlete, they were interested in me trying out for the team. And that's eventually what I did was I tried out for the bobsled team and made it in 84 and then stayed with bobsled for 88 and 92 Olympics and became the head coach for 92 Olympics. From there, then went into, came back, retired from bobsledding, and got back hooked up with Dan Riley back at the Redskins for the next 8 years as one of his assistants, and then built three training centers, performance training centers / health clubs back in Maryland and Virginia. Was out of football in 2000. They had a turnover there and went into boxing and trained a lot of world-class boxers, Fernando Vargas, Lennox Lewis, had some time with Oscar De La Hoya. All these fellows were training at Big Bear Lake, California. That's where our camps were. And did that for about 5 years. Retired from that, built the Performance Center again. And during that stint, trained all the different athletes again. One of the doctors involved with the Nationals in 2008, I believe it was interested in me interviewing for the position because I knew him through the Olympics because they just had some turnover at the Nationals and asked me to interview, and which I did, had some interest, and that's where it all started. And that was right around the time where the economy started going south rapidly. I think it was 2007, and that's when my performance center started to have troubles financially. So I knew that was sort of inevitable, was coming. So that's why I decided to go full-time with the Nats and sort of ride out the storm with the facility, and eventually closed a year after that, unfortunately, but it's the way the economy works.
Of course, your off day, and you went up to see Mickey Marotti. You know Mickey, you know, he's...
Yes, number of years. Great guy, one of the best in the business, absolutely. Runs an amazing program.
That's awesome. You get up to see him, and what's going on with the Nationals as far as the training right now? Where do you guys work out? What do you do when you come into a town like Cincinnati? Where do you work out? What do you do?
Well, actually, every town we go to, the visiting clubhouse has a weight room. It could be as big as this room we're in here, this hotel room. And it has the basic fundamental equipment that is required by every club to have within their visiting clubhouse. You know, a pull-down machine, a leg press, a squat machine, maybe a multi-gym of some sort, but a minimum requirement. Some are much better than others. And in fact, four of them, we have to go to their weight room to use during our stay at their stadium. And that's not the best scenario. It's difficult. But nonetheless, you still manage, and you work out with their guys in their weight room. And they're usually, those weight rooms are very nice because it's their home side weight room. But nonetheless, they're always available equipment somewhere. And other times, there's a lot of guys that like to train early, and I'll go to the nearest gym that might be in the area, and we'll work out together. Because coaching staff will typically work out prior to going to the park every day.
In baseball, you guys sometimes play maybe 5-6 games a week.
Oh, yeah, more like 6 to 7 a week.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't get a day off but every 21 days. And typically, even when you travel, the next day you're playing.
So it can be tricky running an in-season baseball program, even for somebody as well-educated and knowing and knowledgeable like you. It's still a trick to get it all to work.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we as a strength coach, we go into the stadium every day around 12, and then the players start we get our workout in, you know, do our thing, and then the players start drifting in around 12:31. And there's a lot of guys that like to come in and get their work done early, so again, we will work them out, and then they'll continue to trickle in, and then they'll come to the weight room and do some form of activation or go through their strength program. Some of the pitchers are regimented. They know what they got to do every day. Some of the position players choose to work out early in that day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Some of them choose to work out at 4 to 5 o'clock, hour and a half prior to the game. And then some of them choose to work out just before the game, as their pre-activation, half hour before the game.
So
and
it kind of depends.
There's others that like to work out after the game.
Depends on the particular player and
absolutely
how they feel about, you know,
correct,
their body and when it's ready to roll.
Correct. What works for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they figure it out over time.
Position batting practice, players. BP is at what time on the road?
Typically on the road, we're doing batting practice at 4:30. I'm sorry, more like 5:30 because we're after the home team. At home, we're doing batting practice at 4:30. On the road, we're typically around 5:30 to 6:30. And then they come in and only have a half hour prior to the game starting. So they get a meal in that time, you know, and do whatever they got to do to prepare themselves for the game.
So you ever get some players that are, you know, actually working out during the game? You know,
during the game?
Mm-hmm.
No. We have bench guys that are on the bench, and then they typically come in around the 7th, 8th inning. And they come in and do pre-activation, and we do stretching.
What are some of the things that go in the process of the pre-activation?
Well, it differs for each guy. Some guys like to come in and actually do heavy weights, 3 to 4 reps at given each exercise, maybe 8 to 10 exercises, and use heavy weights to try to maximize the neurological stimulation. Other guys come in and do jump rope and lighter bands, cables, light cables, to try and get the musculature activation going. Others don't do any of that, and they actually just come in and get what we consider to be our PNF stretching routine that my assistant Matt Iden and I do with majority of the players. And that's about a 5-minute routine that we do with them. And most of them do some kind of activation, position players with rotational movement patterns with med balls to get their cores activated and prepared. Pitchers are a little different animals. Most of our pitchers, unless it's a starter, the relievers are going to get activated different times during a game. A lot of them do ice baths. A lot of them do heated, different ways to prepare their bodies to go out and pitch for an inning or even one batter for that matter. But most of their stuff is done in the bullpen. And we got bands out there for them and some other, you know, rollers and foam rollers and all those good things that the guys like.
You know, in my travels, I see guys like the Kentucky Wildcats running on underwater treadmills. I see the Alter G Force gravity, anti-gravity treadmills.
Both those.
So that's taking place with your squad. What about some of the things for, you know, to prevent rotator cuff injuries and things like that for baseball?
Well, this is my 6th year, and I was telling Teddy today that none of our baseball players had ever done manual resistance prior to me coming in. So that was new to them, because they were typically have done bands or cable work. So when we started doing our manuals, and we supinate, pronate the hands as we do our rotator cuff, internal, external, and 90 degrees, 90-90 we call them, they had never done that before. And it was certainly something they liked. They had not felt that type of resistance through the full range where it was consistent. And they liked it. They became hooked on it. So we do a lot of manuals when it comes to rotator cuff movement patterns and diagonals and posterior delt isolation movements. And other machines that they had not been exposed to, as I was sharing with Teddy today also, was the hammer post-delt machine, mm-hmm. where you drive the elbow back while laying on your face. And they had not seen anything like that before, so they were like, what is this, coach? They thought I was nuts. What kind of torture machine is that? So they were really reluctant at first when they look at it, and because they've never seen anything like that before, and the isolation lat pullover. They had never done that before or seen it. So obviously, for me, those were two of my favorite machines that I brought into our program that I felt were necessary, as would any athlete trying to have a balanced program within the strength parameters that we're looking to do. Were very effective, and the guys liked those machines as well as the manual combinations we do. So they bought into what we do. They like it. Hence the reason I guess I'm still there after 6 years.
And John, you've been around long enough to see, you know, a lot of the evolution of training for baseball, professional baseball, especially, you know, back 20, 25 years ago, they didn't even touch weights probably, maybe
yes.
30 years. But anyway,
correct.
Now it's come quite a long way.
Oh, it's, I would say it's, in today's generation, it's part of the program.
Yeah, the players today don't even realize that,
that you know, existed.
Back in the day,
correct.
They didn't even really do that much training.
Correct. So it's all, they know it. It's, most of them through high school and through college, obviously, were doing programs, strength programs, conditioning. And I think it's just gotten a lot better in reference to the education of the energy system that we use is the ATP-CP. Short term, 5 seconds. We've learned to train that system versus like the, a lot of pitchers, to my understanding, even this, you know, might have been 5 to 10 years ago, were just running distance to try to just get themselves in shape. We found that it works better for us if they're just running short distances. We call them poles, quarter poles, three quarters, halves, quarters. And that's essentially all we do. We don't do any distance work. The only one that might do 20-minute distance is a starting pitcher the day after they pitch. We call that a 20-minute flush. But more than half of our starters will do intervals for that flush. So that's a big part that has changed, I think, in the mentality of the performance training for this type of energy system sport. If that makes sense. That makes sense?
Makes sense to me. John, got any players doing yoga?
Yoga? Is that because you do yoga, Eddie?
Yeah.
You're asking that question?
That's all part of my program, man. I was just wondering.
Well, I tell you what.
Reason I ask, I saw the Kentucky Wildcats on a video today, and you know, they were doing that hot yoga, 100 degrees.
I've done hot yoga, Eddie, with Drew Storen, one of our pitchers. I found it very fascinating. I enjoyed it, but I'm not very good at yoga, so I had a difficult time getting in all those positions. I have a full-time yoga instructor on staff that comes in every day when we're at home and works with our guys. We have a reformer, and we have she brings in all her yoga materials. She got all kinds of special foams and things that she uses to help these guys. Primarily, mobility, flexibility is her main target. All good. All good in the yoga department.
I think we covered a lot of ground. John Philbin, once again, he's the head strength and conditioning coach for the Washington Nationals. Right now they're in first place in the National League East.
Let's hope we stay there.
Welcome to our podcast. Thanks for joining us today, and good luck the rest of the way. And we definitely hope to see you and get out to Washington and see what's going on.
You come out anytime, Eddie. You and Teddy, hook you up with some tickets, stay at my house, have some good steak on the grill, got a guest room, you're good.
I'm going to get on cheapflights.com tonight then. Thanks a lot for joining us, John.
Buddy.
Take care.
Okay, you too.